forgot to announce, and that is Brother Ken Smith's funeral service will be January the 3rd at 11 o'clock at the Albany Church Building. Seems strange to announce that Brother Smith has gone on when just a week or so ago we were talking with him, cutting up with him, and so forth. That should give us a strong message, and that is we're here today and we could just as easily be gone tomorrow. Amen. We think we've got another, I'm sure Brother Smith thought he had another day, another week, another year for a little while, but listen, this life is a few days full of trouble, and we need to realize we need to prepare for the life to come, because what we have here is going to burn one of these days. And so there's no real value in it. The value is in that eternal place that we want to abide in when the Lord comes. At any rate, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, I believe. First of all, I want to speak to you this morning, and it seems to be the theme by, in Sunday school as well as the song service and so forth. I want to speak to you concerning the freeness of salvation. Now, Jesus came into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, what is that which is lost? All mankind. All men are sinners. The result of sin is death, and Jesus come that he might redeem us from that death and give us eternal life. And he came to pay for and purchase salvation for every man so that he could offer it freely to everyone who's willing to come and put their faith and trust in him. The blessings of salvation are that it's free to all by the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cost of salvation didn't cost man, it cost God. Greatest price was ever paid, Jesus paid it on the cross of Calvary, and he did it for the salvation of men's soul. The cost includes the suffering of Jesus, who tasted death for every man. Look at Hebrews 2 and verse number 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Then, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 30 and 31, but in him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The Great Commission demands a belief that all can be saved. All can be saved. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, teach all people, all kinds of people. The commission is to all mankind, not just a certain group or certain individuals. It is to all of mankind. And it is offered freely to all mankind. We need to understand, first of all, that all men need God's salvation. Amen. To believe otherwise is to charge God with foolishness. How else can the offerings of Jesus and the death of the cross be explained? Romans chapter 3, verse number 23. Romans, the third chapter, and verse number 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned, all of mankind. Doesn't leave anyone out. Have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now notice, it didn't say Adam sinned. It said all mankind has sinned. Adam sinned first, but we followed suit. Adam was given a choice, and we're given a choice. Every man, woman, and child is given a choice when they come to the age to where they understand the difference between good and evil. And when they come to that point, they realize and recognize that there's something that's separating them from God. And that separation is sin. All men suffer from sin. Now I know people don't like to hear preaching on sin. People don't like to hear they're a sinner. Listen, we're all sinners. There's just two kinds of people in this world today. One of them is a lost sinner on the road to hell, and the other one is a saved sinner on the road to heaven. And what that individual did, it didn't make the difference, but what Jesus did is what made the difference between going to heaven and going to hell. Romans 6, verse 23. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages of sin, the results of sin is death. Now that's the second death, eternally. That's the results. It also brought physical death, but the physical death isn't the real important one. It's that second death, because that second death lasts eternally. And that's what Jesus came to save man from. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. God's gift of salvation, it's free. It's his gift. Man needs to receive it. He says that it is a gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. God's gift to mankind. God offers salvation to all men, and none are excluded. None are excluded or accepted. In Revelation 22, 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will is everyone. All of mankind, the entire human race. The entire human race is in the same condition of eternal death facing them. And Jesus came to relieve them of that. We only have to die once, the physical death. And for those that are saved, it's just going from here into the spiritual king, the spiritual kingdom. Now, John 7 and verse number 37. John chapter 7, verse 37 says, "If any man thirst," that's any man, every man, "let him come unto me and drink." Then in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Salvation. Come and partake of Jesus, of the bread of life. Come and take Jesus as the water of life. Every man. It's offered, and every man needs to come to Jesus in humility, repenting of their sins, and by faith trusting Christ as Savior, turning from self and sin with all heart, and turning to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 2 and verse number 21. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 21. "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Acts, the 17th chapter, in verse 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Listen, hiding out and making the excuse to God that you didn't know won't get you anywhere in this life or the life to come. We need to acknowledge the condition that man is in, and he needs then to accept the fact that there's nothing he can do to save him or to overcome what he is condemned for, but that he must turn to Jesus and look to him. And when he turns, he needs to turn with all of his heart. It's the duty of man to accept the blessings of God through the gospel by faith. Jesus is a provisional savior to all men, and a special savior to all of them that believe. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. 1 Timothy 4:10 says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." Amen. Now, therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God. Who's that living God? Who is the Savior of all men. He's the Savior. That Jesus is the Savior. He is God. And he has the power to relieve man of the condemnation and the consequences of the sin nature that all men have. It says, "Therefore, we both labor, suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." You know, he can't save a person against their will. They have to be willing to trust in what he has done. God is no respecter of persons. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 11 says, "For there is no respect of persons with God. He does not choose some to be saved and some to be lost." He did not do that in eternity. He did not do that in time. He did not do that at any time. Because salvation is free to all mankind without exception. Those who believe and trust in him will receive it. Those who refuse will not. That's the terrible facts of the matter. Jesus is the only satisfier of divine justice for men. John chapter 2 and verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Then in Romans 3, verse number 26, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." He that believeth in Jesus, he that trusts in Jesus, he who puts his faith and trust in Jesus. Well, where do we get faith? We get faith from the Word of God. Did you know even most of God's people don't live by faith? You know why they don't live by faith? It's because they don't stay in the Bible. They don't stay in the Word of God, where you get faith, where your faith is strengthened. And we trust in everything around us and trust in ourselves to make it through life instead of trusting him by faith. He wants his people to live for him by faith. He wants the lost to come, repent of their sins, and by faith, trust him as Savior. Accept that free gift that he offers. Come and don't bring any money. And buy. What is that? Come and accept it. Come and receive it. It's exactly what it is and what he is talking about. Nothing prevents the salvation of the greatest sinner on earth but his own inherent depravity and rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 5 and verse number 40. John 5 and verse 40. "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." You'll not come to me that you might have life. Why are men still lost? Because they're not willing to come to God. And the main thing that keeps them from it is they want to come to God their way. But you can't come to God your way. You have to come His way. You have to come in humility. You have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You have to be willing with all of your heart to turn from self and sin and trust in Jesus Christ. And that takes a full acceptance of the fact that man can do nothing in order to save himself. Absolutely nothing. Except be willing for the Lord to save him. The gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. Verses 1 through 4. The word of God here sets forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So the gospel is the death of Jesus Christ according to the Scripture, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to the Scripture. In order for a lost sinner to accept that, he has to accept the fact that Jesus is God who came among men. He's the God of creation because there was nothing created without him that was created. And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation, if it's presented according to the Scripture. The gospel of Christ can be presented and then added to or taken away, and it nullifies the gospel and the power of the gospel. Yeah. There's a lot of false religion out here that believes in the gospel. Death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. This time of year, you can see it all around. The religious folks get really glad because they get a lot of offerings coming in to support their causes. But listen, when you add to or you take away from the gospel, you take away the power of God. You take away that power that you have in order to save men. Faith. By grace through faith are we saved. No question about it. The faith is trusting Jesus. Faith in Jesus is that which saves. It is not a historical faith. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils also believe and tremble. Listen, they don't trust. They acknowledge. Man has to acknowledge and has to trust in Jesus. Trust that he's who he said he was. Trust that he has the power to save. Trust that he paid the full penalty. Trust that he finished everything that needed to be finished to take every human being to heaven that ever lived on this earth, or now living or will live in the future. Faith is receiving of Jesus for what he is. John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. His name. They'll call him Jesus. Jesus is Savior. You got to truly believe that he is the Savior, that he has the power and the ability to save. It's essential. When one is willing to accept it, turning from self and sin, that's called repentance, and then put his trust in what Jesus has done and in the fact that Jesus can do what he said that he would do, then one can be saved. It's a matter of heart turning to God. Look at Romans 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Again, if one will confess with the mouth and shall believe in the heart, confess with the mouth, confess that Jesus is God, that he is the Savior, and believe in the heart that God hath raised him from the dead. For if he could raise him from the dead, he can raise us from the dead. You got to believe with your heart that he can do so. And he says, if you come this manner and believing and trusting, he said, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13. It's a matter of heart turning to God with the heart. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Again, all. He didn't choose a certain race of people. He didn't choose a certain group of people. He didn't choose one as opposed to the other. He didn't choose in eternity. What he chose in eternity was the way he was going to redeem man. He didn't choose individuals and intend for some to be saved, some to be lost. Foolishness, because all through the scripture, everywhere that you go, and we touched on a few of those scriptures this morning, the fact is that he came to save all mankind. Without any question, without any doubt. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 15 and 16. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when I shall turn to the Lord, or when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. John 3 and verse 16, the golden text of the Bible, the very heart of the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe this? You'd believe it. You need to believe it with all of your heart. You need to trust in what God has done. You need to fully give over to the fact that this gospel is real, that this gospel has power, that this gospel can change your life. He can change your heart. He can change your mind. He can change your eternal destiny. Now all men stand condemned already. John 3:18, it says, he that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the facts. Somewhere in the Bible he said, believest thou this? It's essential to believe that. It's essential to do it with all the heart. It's essential to fully trust in him. It's essential that we give up having it our way, doing it our way, and let him have his way. One must submit for salvation. One must submit for service to the Lord. Submit to what? To scriptural baptism. Salvation, baptism, manifesting that you are a son of God. And then let the Lord add you to a New Testament church. And in doing so, you then can serve the purpose that God created you for, and that is give him glory. Ephesians 3:21 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. The church. And by the way, the church is not universal of all the saved. The church is not denominational. The church is local, visible assemblies who have descended from the church that Jesus built. And anything that's descended that Jesus made brings forth after its kind. And by the way, there is only one kind of church that's a true church, and it's the one that Jesus established, producing other churches of like faith and order down to this day in which we live. It's not a matter of whether or not there is a church, there is. He said, I build my church, gates of hell not prevail against it. That's a fact. And the fact is that we can either accept it or we can reject it. But I'll tell you what, when you accept it, the blessings are great. When you reject it, you just endure life. You really don't live. There's really no joy for a lost person. There's really no real joy and abundance of joy or the abundant life that Jesus came to give us for one who's backslid and out of the will of the Lord. Now, you can have it your way if you want to, but you'll suffer the consequences. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Those that sow to the flesh, of the flesh they reap corruption. Those that sow to the Spirit reaps everlasting life. That's the blessings of life, here and in the life to come. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I encourage you to come to this altar and humble yourself before the Lord. Not before these people, forget these people. Humble yourself before the Lord. Amen. Confess that you are a sinner, and by faith trust him to save you. If you're here this morning, you're backslid, you need to come. Repent of the sin that's drawn you away. And trust that Jesus can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then he'll restore to you the joy of your salvation. Whatever the need is this morning. If you need scriptural baptism, unite with this church, you need to come. Whatever that need is, Jesus can serve that need. Let's stand. What number shall we sing, brother?
377.
The invitation is open. Won't you come? I'm not asking you to come to this preacher. I can't take care of your sins for you. I'm not asking you to come to this church. She can't take care of your sins for you. I'm asking you to come to Jesus. If you're not willing to come, you can't sing that song honestly. You can't sing it and really mean it if you're not willing to surrender and submit. Why don't you reach out to him that you might be able to sing this song with all your heart and mean it to the depths of your soul.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for your attendance and attention. Evening services at 5. Come, praying. We'll see souls saved. Labor's at it. Come, invite someone to come with you. Reach out to those around about us that are lost. I confronted a young man a week or so ago as we were passing each other going out in and out of the house. And I asked him, "Are you saved?" He said, "Well," and then he was going to say, "Yeah," but he said, "No." He was being honest. And I talked to him then about how to be saved. I talked to him about the book of 1 John, and we went through some scripture in there. And afterwards, he came to me and thanked me for talking to him about Jesus. There are still folks in this world that appreciate even lost people. By the way, haven't I spoken prayer?